Hello, and welcome to the Man Panel 2. This is year 2 of this wonderful event featuring male experts who will give you insights into the hearts and minds of men. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so happy to welcome you to this event. And congratulations on being here, because that's a compliment to you, because you are dedicated to having amazing relationships in your life. So I'm so happy to welcome a first-time guest to be here with us today, and that is Joe Amoya. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for the opportunity for being here with you and your audience today.
Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited about having you, and I think we're going to have a really great conversation today. I know that you're going to share some insider tips on how to screen quality men, right?
Absolutely. And that's so important that we differentiate and really focus on quality men.
Yeah. And I know this will resonate with this audience. So before we get started, Joe, for those that may not be as familiar with you and your work, I'll just share a little bit about you. Joe Amoya is a love life transformation specialist. He is the author of the popular blog GPSforlove.com, which teaches women how to navigate the complex world of men, dating, and relationships. And his YouTube channel has been seen by almost 3 million viewers worldwide. That's amazing, Joe. That's great. Joe has been an ongoing contributor to the Huffington Post, Huffington Post Live, Digital Romance TV, and YourTango.com, and has been featured as a relationship expert on several episodes of the Style Network's number one TV series, Jerseylicious. Joe has a passion for helping others identify, resolve, and overcome the real obstacles which are preventing them from creating the results they're looking for in their love life. After 17 years in a career as a successful chiropractor, Joe closed his practice in 2010 to dedicate his life to helping others find love, real love, the kind that lasts. He is happily married to his wife, Natalie, of 15 years, and they have 3 sons. So welcome once again, Joe.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
So happy to have you here. And I wonder, to get started, if you could share with us just a little bit more about your personal story, how you came to do this amazing work in the world, going from being a chiropractor into now being a doctor of love, so to speak.
Okay. Well, since we are limited on our time today, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Remember Cliff Notes back in high school? So long story short, many years ago, I was engaged to be married. I was actually 4 weeks, exactly 28 days from walking down the aisle. Now, this is supposed to be the happiest time in a person's life. And yet I was absolutely miserable. I was so unhappy, and I've been so unhappy for so long. And I knew that. And I did everything to try and make the relationship work and trying to make my ex happy. So that day I was sitting in my house, looking in my living room, looking out the window. You ever have one of those moments where you're in your body, but you're not? Mm-hmm. Like you're physically there, but your mind is elsewhere. And that's how I felt. I was just staring out the window. And I'm just saying to myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? And so I got up off the couch, came back into my body, got off the couch, went to the room where my fiance was sitting, sat down next to her, looked her dead in the eye and said, will we ever be happy? Now, let me preface this by saying I had asked that question about a dozen times in the previous 2 years. And every time I asked that question, it was yes, but then it was always followed by a story or an excuse. It was yes after we get engaged. Yes after we move in together. Yes after I quit my job. Yes after I get a new job. Yes after I graduate and get my master's degree. Yes after my grandfather's sick and he passes away. There was always some story, some excuse. And because I wanted to believe it, even though I was miserable, I bought into it. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. But I just couldn't do it anymore. And so in that moment, and thank God, I asked her that question. And this time she looked me in the eye and she said no. Because I think a part of her knew as well. I think we both wanted the same things out of life. And I think we both realized that we were trying to make a square peg fit in a round hole. And I'm so grateful that she said no. So in that moment, I was like, well, what the heck are we getting married for?
Yeah.
You know, because if there was the possibility and the hope that one day we could be happy, then maybe I'd roll the dice. But now you're telling me there's not even that possibility. So then it was clear as day. So wound up canceling the wedding. And it's pretty interesting when you're calling people one day telling them, hey, the wedding's off. And then you're going to your mailbox and getting back responses to your wedding saying, looking forward to sharing your special day. It's a very surreal experience.
Yeah.
But that whole relationship really taught me a valuable, a lot of lessons in life. But one of the things it taught me is about something that I call mirror time. It's stepping out of your life as an observer and really taking a good look in the mirror and going like, well, what happened? And what role did I play in this? Because in life, it's so easy to be a victim. It's like, well, you know, she lied to me. She misled me. She wasn't honest. It could have been real easy to do that. But the truth is, she never held a gun to my head. So I stayed for my reasons. And most people who are watching, if you've had a bad relationship or a failed marriage, you very often stayed in that relationship for your reasons. It wasn't solely your partner's fault. I'm not saying there haven't been times or experiences where somebody really screwed you over or betrayed you or broke your heart. But a lot of times we choose to stay with the person and the red flags are there. So I would say in my relationship, the red flags were like the United Nations. They were flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just I didn't want to see them was really the truth. So as a result of taking that mirror time and really realizing that she didn't put a gun to my head, I was like, okay, well, what happened? And what I learned is that the reason why I stayed in that relationship for so long is that when I was 15 years old, my dad died from cancer. Now, my dad was my best friend. He was, you know, he was my baseball buddy. We would go shopping on the weekends. We would do yard work together. We would have a catch. We would sit up at night watching the game, eating ice cream. And so a lot of my youth was spent with my dad. And so when he was passed, not only did I lose my dad, but I lost a lot of, you know, the great times in my life. You know, I had friends, but there was nothing like that relationship I had with my dad. So there was that huge void. Now, as I got older, ultimately, I wanted to replace that void. I wanted to get married, and ultimately, I wanted to have a son of my own. And that's really why I stayed in that relationship for so long. And I know a lot of women can realize, you know, well, guys want to get married and have kids too. It's, yeah, you know, us men, we want that as well. You know, when you grow up, and, you know, I grew up Italian, so lots of families and, you know, everything was a big event. And you want that. You want to share. We're designed as human beings to connect, to love and connect with other people. And when you have that, you're fortunate to have that, you want it even more. And so ultimately getting involved with my ex and marrying her, I did so for the wrong reasons. And that really, again, made me take a lot of mirror time, work on myself, and made me realize if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with someone, what is it that I need? Because I spent the majority of that relationship trying to make her happy and make the relationship work. And I realized that what I needed, I didn't get. And I wasn't getting it for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And so I asked myself a series of questions. Ultimately, I came up with something that I call the checklist for love, which is literally having a checklist. And I identified 7 important qualities and characteristics that if I was going to be in a relationship and a marriage and spend the rest of my life with someone, these were the important things that I absolutely must have. Is chemistry important? Physical attraction? Absolutely. But what I always say, when you go to the bank on the first of the month and your mortgage is due and you don't have the money, tell them that you have great chemistry with your spouse. See how far that gets you. You know, we live in this world where you need more than chemistry to make a relationship work and to make a relationship last. And that's what I really looked at. And so as a result of that, I came up with this checklist and then I started putting myself out into the dating world. And it was great because knowing what I needed, it then taught me what I needed to focus on. It told me what I needed to pay attention to, what questions I had, how to screen somebody. Because what most of us do is we go on a date, we find someone, we're attracted to them, there's some chemistry, we find some things that we have in common, and next you know, we're in bed and then we're in a relationship. And then we wake up a few weeks, a few months, a few years, maybe even a few decades later and go, but I don't really like this person. This person doesn't really give me what I need in order for me to be happy consistently at the level I desire. And unfortunately, according to a recent study, 85% of marriages, 85% of people who get married will never have the marriage that they truly wanted. 50% will wind up in divorce. Of the remaining 50%, 35% of those individuals admitted that if they had to go back and remarry their spouse, that they wouldn't. But they stay in the marriage, usually because of some type of fear. They're afraid of being alone. They're afraid of starting over again. They're afraid they may never find somebody else. It may be a financial concern. There may be kids involved. but they stay in an unhappy and unfulfilling marriage. And to me, that's worse. You know, having been in a relationship where I was so unhappy, I know what that's like. And having been fortunate to now been in a successful marriage for 15 years, it's night and day. And that's why, you know, people like you and I do this kind of work, because we've been fortunate enough to find that great relationship and that special someone to share our life with. And that's why we do this. That's why I left my career in chiropractic, is literally to help others learn how to create this. And how this all started is that one of my patients one day came in, and she had seen what I'd gone through. My chiropractic patients were like my chiropractic family. So she saw when I was with my ex and when the engagement ended and being single and dating. Also, I met and married Natalie. And at that point, after my first son was born, Natalie was working in my office part-time at the front desk. So she saw the interaction between Natalie and I. And she's like, I don't get it. Like, you can't pick two different relationships. You went from like the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. How did you do that? Now, at that point, I didn't really have an answer other than, well, this time I married the right person for the right reason. Mm-hmm. But what I ultimately discovered is that there was a reason why I picked the right person for the right reason. It wasn't luck. Like, people always say, oh, well, you're lucky. I said, you know, it wasn't luck at all. I believe, you know, you create your own luck in life. You know, even people who win the lottery have to go and buy a ticket, and they have to pick the numbers. So I believe that I created my luck. I know it because I've helped others duplicate it. And I believe that I'm nothing special. I'm no different than anybody else. We're all just people on a journey. And I believe most of us who are truly honest with ourselves really want that special someone to share our lives with. And that's really how this all happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing some of your personal journey, Joe, and for sharing so honestly and openly. I think one of the things that you said that really stood out for me was when you talked about stepping out of your own life. Because we oftentimes will go through life being completely unconscious of the choices that we're making. And as you put it, having some mirror time. And I think this idea of having some mirror time is so powerful, because we all have little blind spots. We can even be looking in the mirror every day and think we're seeing ourselves clearly and think we know what's going on in our own lives. And yet we may not be seeing the side view, or heaven forbid, the rear view. About what's going on in our lives, right?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, the beautiful thing, what I do is I really study human behavior and I just apply it to relationships. And you are 100% right. We do what we do for very specific and predictable reasons. The problem is very often we're so close to our own stuff that we either can't see it, or what really happens, like in my case, is we don't want to see it. Because if we see it, then we're going to get to the truth, and we don't want to accept the truth, because the truth is going to have to make us do something that we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that feels scary. Like, it can feel scary to shine the light in those dark corners of our lives, because we're afraid of what we might see there and what that might require of us. So you quoted this very high statistic of 85% of marriages, 50% ending in divorce, and the other 35% are just kind of gutting it out, so to speak, in some form or another, staying in there for one reason or another. Why do you think that percentage is so high? And for those women who are listening, and I think that's the majority of our audience, who would like to have a happy partnership, marriage-type relationship, what are some of the ways that they can perhaps beat the odds? Because 85% is a very high percentage.
Right. But I say it's, you know, a lot of times when I tell people that, especially single women, they go, well, that's depressing. Yeah. And I say, it's only depressing if you're in the 85%. I say, it's kind of like the economy. People say, well, the economy's horrible, or, you know, people are struggling. It's like the only people who are unhappy are the people who are struggling. The multimillionaires, the economy doesn't affect them because they're in a good financial place. So I don't want to scare people with that. I just simply want to shine light on the truth, because that's what my life is about, is shining light on the truth. So you understand is that if you're going to get married, you're going to be either in the 15% who have wonderful, happy, and fulfilling relationships. So by the time you get to your journey, the end of your journey, you're going to go, you know what? I had the love of my life and I'm so grateful. Or you're going to say, you know what? I didn't. And I never had that relationship, that marriage that I truly wanted. So the reason for, you asked the reason why, I think it's real simple, is as human beings, we are wired for love and connection. We are wired to love others, and we're wired to connect with people. So from the moment we come out of the womb, we're wired for that. And so in life, we are also designed to grow as individuals. And without a partner, you can only grow so much. In order to take your personal growth as an individual, you need a partner. So I say it's kind of like a cake. If you bake the cake, a cake can only be as good as it can be without the icing. It can only get to a certain level. Once you put the icing on, that now brings that cake to a different level. You cannot experience that higher level without the icing. And I think as human beings, or I believe that as human beings, we are designed to have partners for those of us who choose to. It's not for everyone, but for those people who have that longing in their heart, it's because they want to experience more of who they are and what life truly is. You know, I can say, you know, I went in with, you know, this idea of what marriage was, and who I am today as an individual and also as a partner is very different than who I was 15 years ago. And I believe that I'm a much better person, and I have a much better marriage because of what my wife and I experienced as a couple. You know, and that's why I talked about picking the right partner for the right reason, because in life, life is going to throw stuff at you. Life is undefeated. There is not one person on this planet who hasn't had their fair of stuff. And in a marriage, you are going to get your stuff. And when life throws stuff at you, you're either going to grow together and become stronger as individuals and as a couple, or you're going to grow apart. I believe most of the reason why 85% of marriages fail is because people don't understand that. People think, I call it the big American myth. It's like you go to school, you get an education, you get a vocation, you get a job, you get married, you get a house, you get a dog, you save some money to retire, and then you're supposed to be happy. And people do what they're supposed to do, what they're told to do, or what everybody else is doing, but they're not really looking at it. They don't really understand. You know, if I'm going to have a job, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing this. Is it only about the money? You know, a lot of people who work jobs are absolutely miserable and who make lots of money. And I'm all for making lots of money, right. But you have to make it for the right reason, using your natural gifts and talents, contributing to the world, making a difference in the lives of others. The people who do that are the people who are the most fulfilled. The people who have all the material things but hate their jobs because they're working from the moment from sunrise to sunset are the ones who wind up blowing their brains out because they're so miserable. And we're designed to grow. And so when you understand that, it makes perfect sense why the majority of relationships fail, is because I believe people go into them for the wrong reasons. So, and very often it usually comes down, you know, we can talk about unconscious beliefs. It's usually because I'm not enough. And so a woman is looking for a man to validate her that, you know, if he loves me, then I'll be enough. Mm-hmm. Or it's the fear that I'm never going to have the love that I really want. So this guy comes along, he asked me to marry him. So you know what? I'm going to settle. And that's kind of what I did with my first fiance. Mm-hmm. So, and just let me say, this is equal for men and women. Men do the same exact thing. It's just because of the behavior and how men have been kind of programmed by society, by their religions, by their parents and social upbringing, that men tend to behave a little differently. But at the core of who we are as people, we all have the same essential needs and desires.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. And I guess the next question that logically follows in my mind, and I think probably some of the women are thinking about too, are, can you share with us some tips, some concepts, some ideas as to how a woman can be smarter in love? So your business is called GPS for Love. So right. We all know what a GPS system is. It's right. Like that guidance system. So Joe, give us some guidance, if you will.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought that, because that's the way I look at it. There is this universal force, and I'm not here to preach to other people to tell them what I believe. You know, I'm here to, you know, encourage people to get to their truth and to find what their ideal truth is. So I believe that there's this giant energy system, God, universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, that is always guiding us in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, if I look at my relationship with my ex-fiance, my gut was telling me to run. There were signs all over the place. I just chose to ignore them. just like a GPS. A GPS is there to tell you that, you know what, turn right. Now, if you say, you know what, but I want to turn left, that's okay, but you're not going to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where the human responsibility comes in, and learning how to get clear first and foremost on your destination. What most people do is say, just like, I want to get married. I want to have a family. And then they get married and then they have the family, go, why am I not happy? I did what I was supposed to do, but I don't have the experience that I really want, because they don't think about it. You know, other than I just want to find someone. You know, I hear it all the time. I just want to find someone. And very often they find someone and it's like, but he's not making me happy. Well, because you picked the wrong person for the wrong reason. So I say the first thing you want to do is you want to be like that cake, is you want to be a good cake. Mm-hmm. See, what women don't understand, it's not that men can't commit. It's just we understand that spending the rest of our life with one woman and one woman only is some serious business. And so if we're going to commit to the rest of our life to one woman, we want to make sure that it's the right woman. And very often when we come across women who aren't in their true authentic self, their self-esteem and their self-worth isn't where it needs to be. They just want to get married. Guys sense that. We don't want to be some excuse to walk a woman down the aisle. We want to be the person that that woman says, you know what? You make me happy. You make my life better. And you're the person that I want to share the rest of my life with because of who you are as a person. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, us men are human beings. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be appreciated and accepted for who we are. You know, one of the worst things that a woman can do to a man is try to make him into who she thinks he should be. I always say, if you have to make that man into who you want him to be, and he's not doing it naturally, you're either with the wrong guy, or you have unrealistic expectations from your partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very, very good advice. And I know firsthand from my husband, men do not like to feel like they're a project or that they're wanting, that someone's wanting to change them. Mm-hmm. And my husband has shared with me a story from a former fiance who would give him lists of things that he needed to change before they could get married. So he has shared that with me firsthand. Mm-hmm. So Joe, another thing that you talk about, and I'd love for you to delve into this a little bit because I think it'll be very valuable for our audience, is how women distinguish the men from the boys, so to speak, in relationships.
Yes.
Now, of course, we're talking figuratively here, but this is a real big key, and I think that what you have to share will be really valuable.
Absolutely. And if you're listening and watching this, if you can just distinguish this one strategy, your life has become so much easier. So when we're talking about men and boys, what we're saying is emotionally. And how I kind of came up with this is I have three boys. And there was a time with my older son, he was about 9 years old, and he wanted what he wanted when he wanted. And that's, he couldn't care about anything else, like most kids his age. And he was going to make a choice or decision that negatively affected the rest of the family. We had an event to go to, and it was my in-law's 50th anniversary, and we needed the kids to get ready. And he decided that he wanted to hang out, and he wanted to play video games like most kids his age, and he didn't get ready. And as a result, it was supposed to be a surprise, and it wound up ruining the surprise for everybody. Oh. And, you know, and I was like, dude, like what's going on? Like, and I realized, you know, he's a kid, but it was all about him. It wasn't that he doesn't love his grandparents, but in that moment, he wanted what he wanted, and he was oblivious to how his choices affected anybody else. And when we say boys in relationships and dating, that's where these guys are at emotionally. They don't realize that their choices and decisions affect you as a woman. And so when it's all about them, and I say there are some major characteristics of a boy, is that they're selfish, they're immature, they're irresponsible, and they're emotionally unavailable, and they're only interested in sex. You know, when you come across guys that have those characteristics, that's a telltale sign that it's a boy. Whereas a man, that's a guy who realizes that, you know what, you're a woman, you're a human being, you have an opinion. You have desires. It's not all about what he wants. When he makes a choice or decision, it's going to affect you. And so if you can differentiate between those two right from the get-go, your dating life is going to be so much easier. Because the beautiful thing about boys is they are so transparent. No matter how great the chemistry is, no matter how attractive they are, if you sit back and keep your eyes and ears open and your legs closed initially, you will see a boy like that. Mm.
Yeah, so the challenge comes oftentimes when there is this great chemistry and he shows those signs of being a boy, and for whatever reason, a woman chooses to ignore or dismiss that. Like you said, the flags can be waving like the United Nations, or as one of my clients said, there were more red flags than in the Chinese Communist parade. Okay. But we sometimes, as women, and I'm sure men, ignore that because we're overcome by the chemistry. And one of the things I think you're saying and that I say to my clients is we need to go into a new relationship, especially with our eyes wide open, and to pay attention to patterns, especially those patterns that repeat over time, because that gives you an indication of the maturity level and the character of this man, right?
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. You know, I like to study, you know, in the human development, the way the human brain works, personality. And one of my mentors is Tony Robbins, and he has an expression that says, life leaves clues. And so these patterns that you're talking about are exactly that. That's the universe's way of saying, pay attention to that. You see, when you do that, that doesn't work. So you know what? Don't do it again. But I can also understand human behavior, why people do what they do. There's reasons why people pick certain guys, why they're attracted to certain men. But that's where you have to take that mirror time and you have to learn. And you really have to retrain yourself. Like in my instance, I had a pattern. I went after a specific type. You know, and I'll be 100% transparent here. I was a typical boy where I went after a woman who had to be 36, 24, 36, had to look a certain way, couldn't have an inch of body fat on her or anything like that. Very superficial, and I'll be the first to admit it. But then I realized that, you know what? Those women were either like really stuck up or they were all surface and no substance. And I was like, you know what? That doesn't really work. So yeah, I want to find a woman that I'm attracted to. I'm not saying, you know, go out and marry a troll, but find someone that you're attracted to, but who had some substance. So instead of going for the tens, I went for the seven and the eights, who were still attractive, but then opened me up to a woman who had substance. Now, I'm not saying that a woman of 10 can have substance. I'm just saying in my experience, when I went solely for that, I never found that. Mm-hmm. So it caused me to take that mirror time and reevaluate and make the necessary adjustments.
Yeah, that's very well said. So I know, Joe, you also talk about five kinds of emotionally unavailable men, right?
Yes.
And maybe you've touched on that a little bit, but I wonder if you could expand on it a little bit more, because this is a term we hear all of the time, emotionally unavailable. And right. Sometimes I think, well, I kind of get that, but are we labeling men this way unfairly, or are there really that many out there that are that way? Tell us a little more about this whole concept and the five kind of unavailable men.
Okay, sure, totally good. And so let me explain. When I say this, what I try to do is put things in terms so people can understand.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the day, we're all people, but you know, and we throw labels around left and right, but there's a context that we're using them in. So it's to identify guys who will never be good relationship partners. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you sacrifice, no matter how great the chemistry is, no matter how much the sex is, they will never lead you to the relationship and the marriage that you ultimately want. So that's the context that we're using them for. So what I've, in my research, what I've kind of, is kind of coined five different types. And the purpose of this is to help women identify that, you know what, this guy will never give me the relationship that I want. Because very often when a woman gets involved with a guy who's emotionally unavailable, what she does is go, you know, but if I just love him more, and if I just am there for him, and I support him, and I sacrifice, and I do for him like nobody else has loved him or done for him before, then he's going to be the man that I want him to be. Mm-hmm. Or in the beginning, this guy, you know, his representative shows up, and he's putting on a show that he's Mr. Wonderful, and a woman falls for that. And then somewhere down the road, usually not that long a time, the guy's real self shows up. And the woman's like, but I love that guy. I know that's him. He was like that in the beginning. And so I know he can be that person. And it's not that he can't be that person, but there's a reason why he's not being that person. Because now all of a sudden his stuff has come to the surface. Now, unless he's dealing with his stuff and he's doing the work to overcome his stuff, he is not going to change, no matter how much you love him.
Right.
So that's the context that we're going to use these. So there are five types. And for those who are listening to this, I've actually written a report that goes more in detail, but I'll just give them to you. So the first one is the victim. And that's the guy who blames everybody and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is the wounded child. That's the guy who's got unresolved emotional hurt from his childhood that he's never resolved. And so that will show up in his behavior. He tends to withdraw, hold back, and not truly open up and be a vulnerable, healthy partner. The third is what I call the stud. That's the guy who's full of himself. He thinks he's God's gift to the world. He wants what he wants when he wants it, and he doesn't care. And usually his focus is solely on sex. Okay? The fourth is the avoider. That's the guy who, like, let's just live in the moment. I don't want to talk about things. Let's not talk about the past. Let's not talk about the future. Let's just take it one day at a time. I believe that guy's one of the most dangerous because he's giving a woman what she wants in that moment, but he's not going to lead to what she wants in the future. Yeah. And the last one is the coward. And that's the guy who's afraid to be honest. You know, I'm sure you hear this all the time. I went out on this date with this guy. He said he had a great time and he wanted to get together and he called me and I never heard from him again. Well, yeah. There's the reason why. That guy's a coward. He's too afraid to be honest and say, look, you know what? You're a wonderful person, but I don't think we're a good match. And it's funny because we all want that, but there's reasons why a lot of people, men and women, do the same thing. Because I know there are a lot of women out there, and I know you're watching, where there was a guy and you knew he wasn't the right guy for you. And he was interested. And he said, you know, he wanted to see you again. And you go, yeah, I'd like to go out. And you told him you wanted to go out because you were a coward. You didn't want to tell him the truth. Okay? So I'm a big believer in the golden rule. You treat others the way you want to be treated. Yeah. And so if you want a guy to be honest with you, start being honest with guys. And you'll be amazed how it'll change. Now, I'm not saying every guy will be honest, but when everybody starts playing at a different level, then the whole game changes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that, Joe. That was really interesting. And I think that gave us some context for just having our eyes a little more wide open. And I love what you've shared today. I love the concept of mirror time. Stepping out of what you may be doing, especially if you have patterns that are not serving you well, and taking the time to really look closely at some tweaks that you might be able to make that will give you, hopefully, much better results in your love life. So I know you also have a wonderful free gift for our audience, and I'd like everyone to know that they can get it by clicking on the link right underneath the video or audio that you're listening from or viewing from. And Joe, can you tell us just a little bit about it?
Right. Well, we were talking about the importance of really learning how to screen men. Mm-hmm. You know, as you go into the dating world, having your antennas up, having your binoculars out so that you can spot those red flags before you give a guy your heart or any other body part. So I've written this report. It's called The Five Types of Emotionally Unavailable Guys. Okay, in the context of understanding and being able to recognize the red flags before your emotions take over, before that chemistry kicks in. Because it's not about chemistry. It's about compatibility. And so it's learning how to identify guys who are not good relationship partners, even when the chemistry and the excitement and the emotions are there in the beginning. Because it's the one biggest mistake that I see people make. Men and women, is they get involved with the wrong person for the wrong reasons. So if you can learn how to identify those guys who will never be good relationship partners, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's so true. And thank you so much for your free gift. One of the things that I always say is one of the keys to being with the right guy is not being tangled up with the wrong guy. And of course, that can get tricky because there can be great chemistry, or the wrong guy can even be a really nice guy. But if he has some of these characteristics that you've been sharing today, Joe, then we've got red flags there. So before we wrap up today, I want to give you a chance to leave us with just kind of a last parting thought or piece of wisdom, Joe.
Right. And thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here today. I think the biggest thing I want to share is everyone who's watching this is you deserve to be in that 15%. And I believe with every ounce of my being that you can be in that 15%. But just like driving a car and getting to that destination, you've got to navigate. You've got to make the choices and decisions that are going to keep taking you closer to where you want to go. And so if you do that and you make those smart and healthy choices and decisions, even when they're difficult, I believe with every ounce of my being that you will get to that relationship that you desire and deserve. You just got to keep going.
Thank you, Joe. And I want to thank each of you for being here with us. And I know that you've enjoyed what Joe has shared, and I hope you'll join us for more of the Man Panel. Be sure to get Joe's free gift, and it will be available throughout the rest of the event. But pick it up now, because I know we've just touched the tip of the iceberg of what he has to share, and I know you'll want to stay connected with him. And again, thank you once again to you, Joe. Really appreciate your time and generosity today.
My privilege, Michelle. And again, thank you for the opportunity of being here.
Yeah. And we'll see all of you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.